the very things so much of the world lives for in the end will lead to total destruction. We have been given the kingdom, so we are to live differently. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Therefore, sell your possessions and again give to the needy. We seek after a different gain. The gospel and the kingdom have such implications that has borne fruit in so many of your lives here today. It leads us to be rich toward God.
Welcome back, Live in the Light listeners. Hey, how are you doing today? How are you really doing? Did you dial in today feeling tired, discouraged, frustrated, maybe even filled with joy and peace, or maybe even just plain confused? I don't know how you came here to be with us today, right now, but here's the truth for you. There are no accidents with God. You're here today. You're listening right now for a reason. And I sincerely pray, along with all of us here at Live in the Light, that God would encourage you specifically through the teaching of His Word. Listeners, we are continuing our journey looking at what it means to follow Jesus. And while the world around us encourages our hearts to focus on temporal treasure, the cars, the homes, the bank accounts, the clothing, Jesus calls us to something much deeper and more meaningful. Let's turn things over to our teacher, Pastor Robbie, as we listen in on the Lord's words about what real treasure is in Luke chapter 12.
In the Lord Jesus Christ. So just think about that and see if you get that. Think about that in gospel terms. These are gospel implications right here in these verses. Because we have been given the kingdom, the joy that we have of being saved in Jesus Christ, we desire that others may know the same joy as well. So we do whatever it takes to make sure this message goes forward and the kingdom of God advances. That's why we give. Generosity in our lives stems from the desire that we want others to know that we have been given in the Lord Jesus Christ as well. Notice in our text, it says, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. By the way, what a Father's Day verse that is right there. It is the Father, no father like the Father in heaven. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But notice the very next verse following that statement is a command for generous and sacrificial giving. Why? Why are these connected? Here's why. It is the heart of the genuine Christ follower that you want others again to be given what you've received. So think about it this way. The joy that we've been given in the kingdom results in sacrificial giving. Look at baptisms today. We see the joy of those being baptized. Tears in my eyes today, listening to baptism testimonies, their joy becomes my joy. We give to the kingdom because we want to see that joy resulting in our greater joy for ultimately the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what motivates us. This is why we live. This is why we're here, that others might be saved from death and know the joy of relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, the inherent reason for our generosity is that we would be used to see the kingdom move forward. This makes so much sense for those who are truly saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no greater goal. There is no greater desire to be used in this way. So ask yourself right now, as we understand this, listen, generosity is to be the DNA of all genuine followers of Jesus Christ. Ask yourself right now, as a professed follower of Christ, maybe some of you here right now, you are not following Christ, but for everyone who says they do follow and are saved in Jesus Christ, let me ask you, do you carry the DNA of generosity? Is that something people would say about you as a follower of Christ, that you have the DNA of generosity? Let me ask you this then. If not, why not? What we're learning in our text today, if we've truly been given the kingdom from the Father, then inherently within us, there must be a strong, strong desire to have generosity flow from our lives. Now, giving in this sense can be varied. Giving can be with our time, our spiritual gifts, could be with our practical treasure, could be with our compassion, our love for those around us, of course. However, our text puts an exclamation mark in verse 34 that the greatest indication of true generosity is demonstrated by how we handle the earthly wealth that is entrusted to us. That's why it says in verse 34, where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. So what are we learning right now? We're learning this. Let's bottom line it again. A stingy Christian is an oxymoron. A greedy Christian is an oxymoron. A miserly Christian is an oxymoron. A selfish Christian, inherently, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense in terms of the gospel. It doesn't make sense in terms of the Holy Spirit in us. It doesn't make sense if we claim to be followers of Christ and somehow our fruit is the opposite of the inherent, again, nature of the Father who's so generous, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Again, let me say one more time. A stingy Christian, biblically speaking, is an oxymoron. We are to have the DNA of generosity if we truly follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's keep learning why here. Again, the depth of these verses. Notice in our text, we receive the kingdom from the Father. Notice, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That is so awesome. Listen, loved ones, it is the Father's joy. It is the Father's delight to give you the kingdom. So we're learning here, the DNA of our Father in heaven is generosity. One of the greatest ways to describe the fatherhood of God is that he is generous. The generosity that exists in the Father, he gave his Son, he gives the Holy Spirit, he gives himself that we might know the love and share in the joy of his kingdom. Notice in our text, the Father's good pleasure doesn't say the Father is reluctant, doesn't say the Father is stingy, doesn't say the Father was forced to give. No, it's his good pleasure. Listen, he delights to give his kingdom. Personalize this right now. The Father loves to give you his blessing to the point he loves this to give you the kingdom. When you really think about that too, that's kind of mind-blowing. The Father loves and delights to give you the kingdom. If I had my trusty TV beside me right now, I'd put up one of those emoji mind-blowing symbols right now, right? I mean, just think about that. Again, the Father is so generous. He has so much joy. He delights so much in his children. He gives us the kingdom. I mean, come on, really? I mean, he's like, I'd like a pay raise. How about the kingdom from the Father? That's a little more in worth than what he has chosen to give to us for all those who trust in him. Notice this is also massive here. Notice that because we've been given the kingdom, we experience liberation. You say, what do you mean liberation? We are liberated now from being enslaved to the treasures or the things of this earth. Because we've been given everything from the kingdom of the Father, because he has given us the same inheritance of his Son, there's nothing more we could ever want, nothing more we could ever need. So therefore, because we've already become the richest people on earth in the kingdom of God, therefore, we're no longer idolatrous in our possessions. We're no longer enslaved to money. We're no longer in bondage to the things of this earth, because why would we want that? We've been given everything already eternally and infinitely valuable in heaven itself. Makes sense? This is what the Father's teaching us. I've given you everything. Therefore, generosity should be one of the great fruits, again, from your life and your heart. Generosity is extended because we've already been granted everything. So you see what proper perspective does? Proper perspective says, again, it says, sell your possessions and give to the needy as a result of the Father and his good pleasure has given you the kingdom. What does that mean exactly? Sell your possessions, give to the needy. One commentator, super helpful, says this. It's a readiness to respond to the call of renunciation, which is a sign of genuine conversion. I'll say it in my own words. One of the greatest signs we are genuinely converted is that we have a readiness to renounce anything that we've been entrusted with practically because we so much want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Generosity is so key for those. And again, this is such a critical sign for finishing well in the last days. Notice also in verse 32, Jesus starts off with, notice he says, fear not, little flock. What a term of endearment. That's what it is. Fear not, little flock. But why does Jesus say, fear not? Here's why, ready? Because so many of us are afraid to lose what we have. So many of us are terrified to lose the earthly temporal possessions that we currently possess. So we go to extraordinary lengths to try to secure our stuff. Why? Because again, we're so afraid of losing it. And this, let me be so clear, this is the mindset that will be devastating for the last days. You have so many people that are seeking to hold on to earthly things. Again, they are gripping onto that which is worthless. And the moment you grip onto that which is worthless is the moment you let go of that which is infinitely priceless. You know, my personal reading time and my reading plan, I've been in the book of Revelation. And again, I'm amazed at how many times with such detail the Bible tells us in the end, when Jesus Christ returns to gather all those that are his and to oppose those, all those that have rejected, it tells us so many times in the book of Revelation, it's amazing to me, so many people living for stuff on earth, and they will weep and they will wail and they will mourn at the reality that the things that they worship, the stuff on the earth, the money, whatever it is, possessions, it will be gone, it will burn. And how many times the Bible tells us that's how this is going to end for so many people. That can never be said about those who truly follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because we've already been given the eternal worth of the kingdom. Therefore, again, why should we need to pursue and worship the things of the earth? Now, maybe it's a good time right now just to admit, as this passage is being exposited over our hearts right now, maybe this is a good time to admit for some of us that this issue does plague our hearts. For some of us right now, we are way too concerned with earthly treasure. And Jesus says to you and me today, he says, listen, fear not, little flock. Fear not. Again, such a tender expression. He sees our weakness. He sees our fear. And he says to you today, he says, do not fear, loved one. If you are saved in Jesus Christ, do not fear today, loved one. Why? The Father has given you the kingdom. Do not fear. The Father's given you the kingdom. Therefore, Jesus says to us today, because the Father's given you the kingdom, I therefore ask you to live and move in generosity. Because that's the natural outworking when you know you've already been given everything. This is why genuine believers have been used across time to be the most generous and world-changing people in terms of compassion and generosity and help and caring for the poor and ministering to the sick and the beginning of hospitals, because they understand they've been given everything. And now with love of Christ, they desire to minister and love and bless those around them. Undeniably irrefutable facts all throughout history. The outworking of who we are to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if I'm going to finish well in the last days, man, I have to trust in true treasure. I have to. I cannot live for false treasure, because it will kill me. It will kill us if we do. I needed the proper perspective, and generosity must be my DNA. Essential number two is this now, from perspective to incentive. Now my incentive is that I will gain eternal treasure. So look at verse 33 again. Sell your possessions, give to the needy. I love this. Provide, here's the game, ready? Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. Wow. Now consider our world, okay? Consider our society. Consider our obsessive need for security. Think of all the protection that surrounds us, all the locks, all the security systems, all the surveillance. Consider car alarms and ring devices and security codes and password technology and cybersecurity. Consider all the security cameras that exist now that were nowhere near there even 10 years ago. And then, in some sense, I get it, right? A lot of thieves out there. Our church has security cameras, right? But then there's the all-consuming effort of trying to protect our wealth, our investments, our obsession with retirement, the passion for the nest egg, making sure the interest, the dividends, the profit are meeting our goals. But compare that reality of our world with, again, verse 33, provide yourselves with money bags that don't grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail. It's such a good word. Where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. Someone listening right now, you hear verse 33, like, wait, what? You mean there are money bags that don't go old? Wait. There's a treasure that does not fail? Wait, you're telling me there's a wealth that no thief can touch and no moth can destroy? Such a treasure exists? Really? Can I have this treasure? You mean to tell me there's a treasure that is not subject to any form of recession or even inflation? Such a treasure exists? You better believe such a treasure exists. The answer is yes. This treasure is called the kingdom of God, granted only by and through Jesus Christ the Lord. Think about it. No thief's getting into heaven. Amen, church? I mean, there's no thief getting into heaven. The treasure we have in the kingdom of God, found only in Jesus Christ, is infinite. It is indestructible. It is impenetrable. This is what is granted to us, again, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Wait a second. Do you hear that? Do you hear that? I hear that. The phone is ringing. Oh, it's wisdom, and it's for you. Wisdom, the person of wisdom is calling right now, and the phone is ringing. You got to pick it up, and you got to say hello, because what is wisdom saying? Wisdom saying, do you hear what God's word is saying today? Wisdom says, why would you spend your life on that which is going to burn in the end? Why would you not then invest your life in eternal riches and the kingdom of heaven? Why would you spend your passions, your time, your energy, and your best affections on that which, again, will only last now and will not last in the future? Wisdom says this. Wisdom says, I can show you a treasure that will not fail. Pursue the kingdom of God and the treasure of Jesus Christ. This is the man, woman, young person of wisdom. They understand exactly what's in front of them, and then it changes their lives as a result, because they refuse to waste their life on that which doesn't matter. Jim Elliot, he said this astutely. He said, very well known, he says, listen carefully. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. That is wisdom. Oh, do I trust in true treasure? Loved ones, we must. The cost of not trusting in true treasure is too grave. Why? Because the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. The love of money is a snare based on the real estate that Jesus gives us in warning about money. Again, how many lives are sent to destruction because of the idolatrous behavior towards possessions of the earth? Again, the book of Revelation, in my readings, as I said, so powerfully, God, I've been reminded of this so many times, but I'm reading right through the end, especially verses or chapter 17 and 18. Revelation tells us how the Babylonic system, which is representative of the evil satanic system of our world, two main sins are mentioned when Jesus Christ returns to bring final judgment and wrath. The two sins that are mentioned as related to the Babylonic satanic system of evil, the two sins that are mentioned are sexual immorality and luxurious living. Sexual immorality and luxurious living. And the detail of the people of the world in Revelation, the merchants and those who live for the world, how they weep and they wail and they cry over the things they had that are no more and have dissolved in their midst. I mean, the Bible in detail is telling us how it's going to end. We must be as far away as possible from any kind of life that would be kind of aligned with that. The very things so much of the world lives for in the end will lead to total destruction. We have been given the kingdom, so we are to live differently, right? It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Therefore, sell your possessions and again, give to the needy. We seek after a different gain. The gospel and the kingdom have such implications that has borne fruit in so many of your lives here today. It leads us to be rich toward God. There's a true story of a man who made $1 million in the 1920s, 100 years ago, tons of money, obviously. Subsequently, he gave back $100,000 to the church. Again, so much money 100 years ago. Eventually, however, the man went bankrupt. He lost it all. A member of his family came up to him and complained, "Don't you wish now that you hadn't given any to the Lord of the church?" And he says, "Oh no, you've got that wrong." He says, "That is the only thing I actually kept." You see, he understood true riches before God. Again, the investment in the kingdom of the Lord. Essentials in trusting true treasure. Perspective is one. I got to give generously. Incentive, number two, I gain eternal treasure. And then thirdly is this, inspective. Inspective, now I find out if my heart is genuine. This is part of what Jesus is doing right now. He's giving us a heart exam. And we're finding out, is my heart truly genuine? Look at verse 34, one of my all-time favorite verses. It says this, "For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also." Look at that verse. Notice the where and the there. Where's your treasure? There's your heart. Find your treasure, find your heart. What do you treasure? Whatever you treasure, that's your heart. Notice Jesus is teaching us here. Our affections follow what we value. Let me ask you, what do you value today? Whatever you value, that's where your heart will be. What's your treasure today? Whatever your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. What do you care about most? Whatever you care about most, that's where your heart will be. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Again, our heart always follows our affections. Let me ask you again, what do you treasure? Here's a very, very simple way to find out what you treasure right now today, really quick. I can tell you what you treasure in a matter of seconds. You give me how you spend your time, what you think about most, and how you spend money. Right there, that's your heart. You will find out where your heart is that quickly. What you think about, how you spend your time, how you spend your money. Whatever the answers are to those three questions, that's what you value. That's what you love the most. That is where your heart is at. So all of us right now are going through that process right now. The Holy Spirit's working in many of us right now. And he's showing us in large degree where our hearts are actually at. Because it's whatever we treasure the most. Isn't it scary? The things that people are treasuring in their life and in the end, that's what they've placed their heart in. Think of the things that some people will live their entire lives for. And then in the end, they look in the mirror and they're like, that's it. It's devastating. It's tragic. Those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ must be so different. And again, as we look at our verses here and we see what the Lord is doing here in these verses, notice some of our context. When you're reading scripture, context is so key. Look at verse 31. Instead, seek his kingdom and these things will be added to you. So notice this, seek the kingdom, treasure the kingdom. It's the kingdom of God which holds infinite value and everlasting life. Who's that for today, by the way? You've been searching your whole life. You've tried the world's ways. I wonder who's here right now. Who knows who God has brought to this time? You've been searching for purpose. You've been searching for meaning. You've been searching for satisfaction. You've been searching for value. You've been searching for salvation through all the wrong methods and all the wrong means. And every time it comes up so empty, how do I know? That's my story too. Striving after the world, striving after pleasure, striving after this, and you get there and it's empty and it's done. The kingdom of God found only in Jesus Christ. He's the only one who satisfies. He's the only one who saves. He's the only one who can save us from our sin and give us everlasting life. And then the moment you give your life to Jesus Christ, listen, you are given entrance into the very kingdom of God, adopted into the family of God as a son or daughter of the king, never to be lost again. That is the power of the gospel and the entrance to the kingdom. And then you look at verse 35 in our text. It says, stay dressed and ready for action. Keep your lamps burning. If you remember a few weeks ago, that is our gird your loins verse. Roll up your robes that you might be able to run and ready to work and spring into action. Do not let the things of the world entangle you. Loved ones, don't treasure that which will burn. That's so foolish. Rather, let your heart burn for that which is indestructible treasure. Don't treasure that which will burn in the end. Rather, let your heart burn for indestructible treasure. Oh Lord, if we are to finish well, we must trust in true treasure. Our DNA must be our generosity. Our gain will be eternal. Our hearts will then be genuine. For those who are watching on this, some version of a screen, we've done from time to time within this series, we've done a bring it home slide. But for us outside right now, I'm going to read this slide to you. For others, it will be on the screen for you. But let's just ask ourselves a few questions right now as we close up this text today. And maybe you want to just close your eyes. Maybe you want to just bow your heads. Maybe you just want to quiet your heart and where you are. Let me ask you this, as led by the Holy Spirit. Question number one is this. What earthly treasure needs to go in the trash today? You know, for some of us right now, like this is literal. literally what earthly treasure needs to go in the trash today, why it's taken up too much of my love, too much of my affection, too much of my time. It's wasting my life. Second question is this: does my life demonstrate the DNA of generosity? Does my life demonstrate that? Would the people closest to me who know that I profess to follow Christ, would they characterize my life as generous? Then the third question, I think, which is so key, and this is so utterly biblical today too. And listen to this. And has this passage today revealed the answer to my question of why my affection for Christ has been so weak? For some of us, we struggle with an unusual season of apathy, lukewarm, little hunger for God, little hunger for His word, little hunger for the lost. We're loving everything else but Christ right now. Has this passage given us, given you, given me, the answer to our weak affections for Christ? Because you can't serve both God and money. When a heart is divided, how's it going to follow Christ with passion? Has this text today, has the Holy Spirit revealed to you, that's why our affections are weak? That's why our love is not strong for the Lord? That's why I'm not in God's word? That's why my prayer life is so minimal? That's why I have no desire to serve or be generous? Because my heart, again, has been so divided. And the Holy Spirit's like, today's what you needed to hear, because this is what needs to change. Because you got to stop living for the world. And now you got to start renewing yourself to live for the Lord. That's when things start to happen. And if you're in that place, the first step is repentance, but then to seek renewal, and then to pray for rejoicing in the things of Jesus Christ. Again, bottom line for today, if we live for the things of this world, we will not make it. If we're going to finish well for the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot have our hearts set on the affections of the things of the earth. That is crystal clear. God, I pray you will help this church live for Jesus Christ as much as ever. Oh Lord, may it be so. Holy Spirit, you can do anything. Let's pray, church. Let's pray together. Lord, I do pray right now. I do pray that there's a tremendous sense of examination of our hearts, of repentance, but of renewal too, Lord. I pray you are renewing, and this will lead to a rejoicing of what we've been given in Jesus Christ. Hear it again, church, hear it again. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He delights, He loves to bless you with His kingdom. Therefore, sell your possessions, give to the needy. Therefore, be generous, because you've been given everything. Oh, Lord, so simple, yet not easy, but beautiful and powerful. You are the answer, Jesus. Save lives today. Encourage hearts today. Convict today, but increase our righteousness in Jesus Christ. May it be so. May this song make so much sense to so many right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey, if you're looking for more Bible teaching, we have many of Pastor Robbie's previous Live in the Light messages available for you to listen to at any time on our website, liveinthelight.ca. We also have our daily program in podcast form, so you can listen easily on the go or hanging out at home. If you have any questions about who we are or want to share a story about what God is doing in your life, we would love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT or use the contact page on our website. Catch you next time here at Live in the Light. I wanna be in the light as you are in the light.